1 Samuel chapter 12. Thank you. Now, Brother Allen, I move right back over here and get right in the way again. Bear with me. There have been so many things in my heart and mind trying to think of how to open this and set the stage for what's going on in the text. This text is all about, and we're going to cover, touch on many different pieces of the Bible that are all about when you realize you have just blown it, it is time to reset life. John Maxwell writes on leadership all the time, and in one of his books on leadership, he mentioned how that every time a company comes in and has to buy a hotel, the first thing they do is fire all the management. And I read that and I thought, that's shocking. You're wasting all that talent. And their response is, if the management was doing their job, this hotel would not need to have been sold. They were not training people to properly care for the people coming in, the customers. They were not keeping this place sharp and clean and looking fit, so people didn't want to come back anymore. If the management's not doing their job, reset the program. They hire new management. And so as I look back at my life, I don't know about your failures, but I'm very, very well aware of mine. When you turn your back on your best friend right when they need you, when you look at a woman who loves you and tell her that you've chosen somebody else besides her, when you have lied to save your butt, and I could just go on and on and on. So I don't know what the Lord will bring to mind in your heart today, but there are times between the failures and the victories, the same answer comes out of the Bible time after time again. Fear the Lord and serve Him only. Reset the basics. I gave this title because in the long run, we will serve who we worship. We will serve who we love. There's an awful lot of people all around the world, but what concerns me are people who claim to be Christians. And they will say they love God, but if you looked at them carefully, you would see they love their BMW. You would see they love their new fancy house with a swimming pool. We can love all sorts of things, and that really has our heart's attention, while we may say all sorts of spiritual platitudes. Remember in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "He who hears my words and puts them to practice is like the man who built his house on the rock." It's possible to be a Bible college professor or seminary professor and hear all the words but never put them into practice, so your house is just built on the sand. We serve what we worship. We serve what we love. So when you realize you've blown it, you must reset life patterns to stay close to Christ. That's going to mean rekindle your love for God. Do not turn microphone towards ceiling speaker. Maybe this will work. Also, if I get up closer, he doesn't have to have the volume so high. Rekindle your love for God. Reorder life based on that love. Revel in His grace. I'll explain that. And remember the Polish proverb. Now, growing up, there were Polish jokes, and that was a put-down on Polish people. This is not a put-down. As I understood it, this was from a Polish family, something they'd learned from the School of Hard Knocks. And it was simply this: if you're going to be dumb, you got to learn to hurt. I thought, that's something I need to remember, because I keep doing dumb things. Yes, it helps to get those turned off. So here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 12, the context: 300 years of looking to God for deliverance and safety for the nation. the nation now decides it wants a human king. So remember that. From the time Moses has brought them up to the land and Joshua has brought them into the land, 300 years. How old is America? If we count from 1776, we're less than 250 years old. They had a 300-year history at this point when they all of a sudden say, Samuel, you're old. Your sons do not have your integrity. We want a human king for stability. We want a human king to rally us together. Just a couple of pages back in your text there, 1 Samuel chapter 8. And the Lord told him, Samuel, listen to all that the people are saying. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. So here we are in our text. They have chosen their new king. They have King Saul installed. And this is Samuel's farewell speech. He opens with a challenge. Whose donkey have I taken? Whose servant have I coveted? And they all say, you're blameless. You're spotless. And so he closes with this. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord. Be sure to fear the Lord, to serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. This is a pattern, as I've mentioned, that goes all through the Bible. And so let's do a quick overview. When you realize your parents' sins and your sins have wasted years of your life, you must choose to reset life patterns and stay close to Christ. This is the children of Israel. Their parents rejected going into the land. It's full of giants. They'll devour us. They'll kill us. Let's just go back to Egypt. So what do they do for the next 40 years? Until everyone 20 years and older, what? So here this next generation is. They have grown up in 40 years of wandering. When you realize your parents' sins, but it wasn't just the parents who also did dumb things in those 40 years, your sins have wasted years of your life. What do you do? Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. The whole book of Deuteronomy is the response to reset your life. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only. Take your oaths in his name. When you realize you're weary and maybe angry, what must you must choose? Life patterns to stay close to Christ. I was chatting with someone just in this last week or two. Anger is an astounding thing. One step back before that. Do you realize what is so devastating about alcohol? Alcohol strips your inhibitions. Alcohol is the original date rape drug. You give a woman enough alcohol, you can do anything you want with her. Understood? Inhibitions crash. You know what will strip your inhibitions just as fast as alcohol? Anger. So I was chatting with someone the other day, and because they got angry at work, it led to a whole bunch of things that they have held at bay for years. But now, because I'm angry, inhibitions drop, all sorts of stupid thoughts, and here we go. So, who are we talking about here? When you're weary, that's its own danger. When you are tired, your inhibitions drop. You're angry, you got the pair. So think about Joshua. He and the leaders of Israel have fought for years to take the land, push out all of the other people, and as Joshua closes his last speech, it'll be very familiar to most of you. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, say with me, we will serve the Lord. But you know what happened the verse before this? Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. You're going to find that thought gets wrapped around several things we're very familiar with. This is the foundation. You're weary. You're tired. It has taken forever to own the land. Now what? Go back to basics. Rekindle your love for God. Reorder your life to serve this God you love. When you realize a time of peace has finally come, what do? You must choose to reset life patterns. King Solomon, the first Prince of Peace, his name Shlomo, he is Shalom. The first Prince of Peace sets up, for the first time in all of human history, a temple for God. And so we're familiar with this. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. This is God's interaction with Solomon right after the dedication. But what happens 5 verses later? But if you turn away and forsake my decrees, commands I have given you, you go off to serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel from the land I have given them. When things are going fabulously, spirituality does not coast. Now, Brother George Winkert has done these crazy 1,000-mile bike rides and things for years. How many of the rest of you have spent time on a bicycle? How far can you coast uphill? Our spiritual lives are continually an uphill issue. But I've just hit the top. Victory, success, can be more dangerous than failure because I let down all my guards. I have arrived. And at this very point, on one hand, the temple is here. And if those people serve other gods and worship other gods, I'll rip them out of the land. When you realize you are now slaves because of your people's failures, you must choose to reset life patterns. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are slaves. Did they do anything? They are somewhere between 11 and 14 years old when they are carted off. They are held in special use because their parents had been leaders in Israel. So they've probably got pretty sharp kids. So we'll train these kids up to be administrators in the land of Babylon. O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, we will not serve your gods, worship the image of gold you have set up. I'd heard it years ago. I'm just in my early 20s, and it sounded weird. Many serious Christians are aware that persecution around the world often starts new revivals. Persecution often wakes people up and gets them passionate and concerned about the gospel. And many people have said here in the United States, boy, we need some persecution to get people to stop playing games. Persecution does sometimes bring revival. Persecution does sometimes wipe out 4 generations of the church so every Christian is murdered. Let us not pray for persecution. But what spun my head was when somebody said, Americans are the most persecuted people on earth. And we all turned around and looked at him, what are you talking about? You have to say no to every possible desire because it's all sitting here right for you. Over there, they know who the enemy is. It's easier to stand up and say, I am not that. Here, it is so hard to stand up. I could just sleep a little longer. I could just eat a little more. I can just look at things on the computer and nobody will know. I can just, every possible pleasure is yours in America. That is a much more seductive danger than open persecution. These guys faced it. Many of you are facing the quiet, continual American seduction and standing strong and growing vigorously. These guys could see it the more you and I realize. I don't have Joseph on here. Sold by his brothers into slavery. He's responsible, and God blesses what he does. He drives the chariot, as one person told the story. And so he's got these glorious arms and chest. And he's taking care of everything in the house. The master doesn't worry about anything but what? The food on his plate. And so, who does the master's wife start getting interested in? The guy who doesn't worry anything about food, or the guy with the muscles who does everything? Humanly, could anybody have blamed Joseph for just stealing a little pleasure on the side? I will not do this thing and dishonor my God. These people remind us of the need. I may be in slavery. I may be paying for other people's sins. I will choose to follow God. I have tasted destruction. Deb and I recently got a card. It was just greatly encouraging. They were talking about a situation where the husband's parents had been investing in him and helped him try to walk with God, and he had married a Christian gal who came from a broken situation. And as we got to read this card she had written to his parents, she said, "I want to thank you because the way you invested in him, he is now able to teach me so our family works so much better." When you realize you're under attack or temptation, you must choose to reset life patterns and stay close to Christ. Well, who was under temptation and needed to reset things? The Lord Jesus himself. "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Whether everything is at its highest pinnacle, whether you are facing the devil directly, whether you've won the land but you're kind of weary, wherever you are in life, the Bible always brings us back to these same two things. Now, you'll have picked up the difference between, in Samuel it was, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Interesting thing is, this is Jesus. This is Jesus' quote of Deuteronomy 6:13. So understand that Jesus says, fear the Lord and worship mean the same thing. Because he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:13 to the devil. I put a second bulletin insert in your hands. I don't have time to walk through it, but this is crucial. It can be very, very difficult for people to grasp the concept of fear of the Lord if you had an adult in your life who did not control their anger. You know what it is to fear somebody. If you had an alcoholic parent and they got angry with alcohol in their system, you know what it is to fear somebody. And then you hear fear the Lord and you think, no way! I'm supposed to dread God? I'm supposed to run away? I'm supposed to walk on eggshells? And so this paper I wrote out purposely to say, there are many things we treat carefully. Electrical power, hot stoves, cars. How often do we hear about a car pops out of gear and rolls over somebody? Now, a car is a wonderful tool, but if it's out of control, it hurts people. So we treat many, many things that are dangerous with respect, and we don't have to hate them like a child could learn to hate an alcoholic parent. So understand that fearing the Lord is a situation where love and worship and reverence is involved. I'll get back and develop that a little bit more in a while. But I need to put that in because Jesus said what fear the Lord primarily means is to worship him, to acknowledge his worth-ship, to see in him beauty that is so attractive you want nothing more than to get closer and closer and closer. Deb homeschooled our four kids. They would tell you that there was one penalty they desperately did not want. They did not want mom going to dad and informing dad they had disrespected mom. In human terms, there was hell to pay. There was no doubt in the kids' minds, on an earthly level, who held my affection. and I'm going to defend the love of my life. Now, that meant the kids feared me. But did they cringe at me? Not at all. In this loving support but corrective relationship, it develops a point where there's no way I'm going to do that. It would break Mom and Dad's heart. Oh, that's where God wanted us all along. He wants us to draw so close to Him that you get a Joseph response. There's no way I'm going to take advantage of this momentary pleasure. That would break God's heart. There's no way I'm going to bow down and worship your 90-foot-tall piece of gold. Can you imagine how many billion dollars is in a solid statue 90 foot tall? I don't care about your power. I don't care about your money. It would break my father's heart. When you realize you've blown it, you must choose to reset life patterns. So let's walk through these words and we'll wrap it up. But be sure to fear the Lord. You've got that insert, and on the back of that is a whole bunch of uses of the Old Testament of fearing the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you don't put a literal stumbling block in front of a blind person. When you fear the Lord, you do business well. That's what it means to serve Him. Reorder your life. Reorder the way you treat other people. Racism is out. Prejudice is out. You love people the way that would honor God. Fear the Lord. And that's where I'm saying rekindle your love. Serve Him faithfully with all your heart. I've used it as an illustration before. There was only so much I could bring with me today. But I love to bring one of the violins I've made. It has this neck, which looks an awful lot to a child like a handle. And a violin could be used to play tennis with. It would demolish the violin quite quickly because that's not its purpose. Human beings were made to love and serve God. That's our purpose. When we love God and serve Him, it is like a beautiful symphony played on a violin. We finally are doing what we're designed for. But if we try to take a human being and to make the God of their life being the CEO of a company, even if they make the God of their life having wonderful kids, even if trying to make the God of your life your spouse, that's not what a human being is built for. Kids are fabulous. Fulfillment at work is a good godly thing. Marriage is God's gift to mankind. But anytime something else besides God Himself becomes God, everything starts to break. Serve Him. When we serve God, when we reorder our life in a way that pleases Him in everything we do, all of a sudden, the symphony breaks out. Let me try to make that practical in some strange ways. If I walked into your house and I looked at the art on your wall, the color of your carpet, the light schemes, would I know that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life? I'm not saying, do you have plastered scripture all over your walls? That's not a bad thing. Ian, your preaching pastor said there's this song and then there's these words that could fit it. See if you can pull that to mind for me. If I walk into your home and I see that your home is light and airy, that this is a restful place and a place of joy, that will tell me a tremendous amount about what you really believe and where you're headed spiritually. Because that reflects Jesus Christ. Can you remember the Christmas song that He started? We know it well. But He put what words with it? Crown, crown. The Lamb upon His throne. No. No. One deserves grandeur, and the other's just this fun pop thing. There are fun pop things about God. But crowning with many crowns is not a pop thing. Our lives show, is God fitting in a way that brings Him grandeur? Now, God still made fuzzy ducks, right? Bunny rabbits? He likes the fun pop things. But there are some things about God that just need to be lifted high. And so as we look at all of life, have I reordered things? Like, where in the world I sat the clicker down? We serve what we love. We serve what we worship. We need to rekindle that love. We need to reorder life based on that love. I understand, I don't agree with, and I want to help people out of it, but I understand that when depression comes into a person's life, all the shades come down and all the lights get turned off. When depression comes, they want to close off life. We've got to minister God's love and grace. We've got to find out what in the world's going on in our thinking processes. The simplest thing, we've got to make sure they're eating and sleeping so that their body's starting to function right. But we need to help bring some light back into their life. We've got to reorder life so that God is in charge and God is hope. Consider what great things He has done for you. Revel. Revel in God's grace. Now, obvious answer is here. Speak up. Do we get saved, forgiven by our works? No. So can I keep my Heavenly Father happy with me by my works? Oh, that took a second. Romans 8, chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in what? When I am in Christ, I have all of the Father's pleasure that He has towards Christ. I have all of His pleasure, all of His acceptance, all of His love. I don't keep my walk with God by my hard work any more than I could get a walk with God by my hard work. Revel in His grace. My friend who got me to church so I could hear the gospel and get saved was from a Wesleyan, a Methodist background that believed you could lose your salvation. Well, he gets me to church, I get saved, but within a few weeks, the Lord has me at Calvary Baptist Church. And Ralph pulls me aside and says, oh no, you got to watch out for those Baptists. Well, why? Because they believe that once saved, always saved. So that, you know, when you know you're saved, you can just go out and live any way you want. And it won't matter because you still got a... Martin Luther not only grabbed the idea that we're justified by faith, but he very appropriately grabbed the idea that, it's because I'm loved I want to serve. Service out of guilt, service out of a carrot, maybe I'll... That doesn't do anything long term. But even when I'm not seeing fruit, I will keep serving when I know I'm loved. Because I'm not trying to get His approval. I've got it all. And if He says plant the church in Bowie and you're 2 years later and you're not seeing any fruit yet, until He tells me go, I can be very, very happy meeting all these people, sharing the gospel all I can, waiting for God to produce the fruit, because I don't have to have success to be loved. I can work my butt off because I am loved. He'll bring the success. It's His. But I'm free because in Christ I'm loved. Revel. Revel in that. No matter how you and I are getting kicked and how much we may feel like a fill, I have God's total love in Christ. I can reorient the craziness around my life. Remember the Polish proverb. If you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Now, I don't need to do hard works to have Daddy's pleasure. But if I'm going to be dumb, Daddy's going to swap me. That is reality here. So, talk back to me. Who was a slave because of parents' sin, but chose to worship God and serve Him? Again? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who had wandered around for 40 years because their parents were dumb children of Israel? Who is tired and possibly angry at having to spend so long? Joshua and the leaders. Who has arrived? Success and peace is now ours? Solomon and the nation. Every one of these points. What do? Worship the Lord. Figure out how I can best serve Him in my life right now. Revel in His love. He already loves me. But remember, if I'm going to be dumb, He will encourage me to stop being quite so silly. The truth is so simple. It is like training high school and college basketball players how to dribble again. But we forget the simple things. I'd like to share a special number with you, if you can help keep up with the words. And Brother James, watch the volume on the thing and let's see what we can do. God and God alone created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown. And all the best and worst of man won't change the Master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that leaves reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that leaves reserve its truest praise for God and God. Let everything that leaves reserve its truest praise for God. as Deborah comes to the keyboard. We heard early on that the life we can have with God is all because Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't my particular focal point today, but at every turn, to fear the Lord, to worship God, is to repent of what's caught my heart and get back on track. So repentance and faith in God, in Christ, is built into everything I was talking about today. And you can't draw close to God if you haven't started there. So if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior yet, and you've got questions about it, I've got all sorts of people here besides Deb and me who would just love to take a few moments and talk with you about where you're at and how we can help you move forward in that. The rest of us, how can I practically make this work? I invite you to join with us on the servant song. Do you guys know that?